Well, good morning. If you've come in a little late, again, my name is Trevor Kaufman. I'm the campus pastor here. I'm excited to be here with each and every one of you. Also, what I said at the very beginning of service, at this point, as the message is taking place, you may lower your masks if you want to. You don't have to, just so you know. So this morning, we're going to begin. I'm going to ask you a question that maybe you've asked yourself many times over the course of your years. Maybe you've asked yourself this, when you were young, when you were brand new to your faith. Maybe you haven't even entered into a relationship with Jesus yet, and you're wondering this as well. And the question is this: is there anything that God can't do? Is there anything that God of the universe, the creator of you and me, the one that spun this world into existence, is there anything that he can't do? Yes. That's right. There is something he cannot do. And we're going to get to that at the end, okay? So here's the thing. We're going to shelf that. We're going to put that like off to the side a little bit, but we're going to think about that as we go. But as we continue, we're going to kind of be reminded of where we are in this series. So we've been in this middle of the series, hearing God's voice. And we've been learning the fact that God wants to speak to each and every one of us, and he wants us to speak to him in return. He wants there to be a communication. He wants this relationship to be real, to be authentic. And so, but the problem is oftentimes scripture points out that there are many things that we do to actually hinder our ability to communicate to God effectively. We can actually almost essentially hinder the effects of our prayers. And I will get into that in just a minute, and we're going to use a little analogy here behind me. But because you see, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we become his child. Many times in scripture, we're referred to as the sheep, and he is our shepherd. And as the sheep, we understand, we identify, we can recognize the voice of our heavenly Father. But sometimes we do things in life because we are all still bound by sin. Sometimes we do things to sort of muddy that communication a little bit. And so we're going to sort of identify some of these this morning. And the first three that we find are actually found in James. So I'm going to go through these at a relatively decent rate of speed, but we're going to spend some time on each and every one of them. And we're going to sort of build a little example behind me. I'm going to move this a little bit out of the way a little more. So the first one is this, and it's found in James. The first three are actually found in the book of James. So the first one is this. Let's come over here and grab this little box here, all right, that I so tirelessly made. So the first one is lack of faith, all right? Lack of faith. So we're going to place this down here on the bottom of the cross. I'll kind of make a little nice V so you guys can see some of it. All right? There we go. All right. Lack of faith. This is found in James 1, 6, and 7. It says this: but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. It's sort of addressing this fact that if we waver in our faith, it's like we're being tossed in the sea. It's like we're being tossed in the storms of Lake Erie. We're being tossed around. We sort of lose faith. And having prayers like this where we pray, but we really don't fully believe, those kind of prayers where you're like, I believe, God, that you can do this, but I'm going to just start rolling it into motion. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start checking all these boxes to make sure that it happens, because I don't entirely believe that you're going to make it happen. And then last week, if you weren't here, and you can go online and watch the message or you can listen to the messages, last week we learned what it's like when we don't want to be on speaking terms with God. And we learned the fact that he still wants to be on speaking terms with us. He still loves us. He still wants to listen to us. But there are times in our life when we pray for things over and over again, things that we even fully believe are in the will of God, but we pray these things over and over again, and maybe they don't come true. Maybe God doesn't answer them the way that we think he should. And so over time, we begin to lose faith. I've been in situations like this before. I've prayed for somebody to be healed, thinking this person is a man or woman of God. Them being here in the presence of the people around them will only impact your kingdom in a great and powerful way. Why do you need to take them at such a young age? I've prayed these prayers before, and they've still passed away. And so when those kind of things happen in our life, we can lose this faith. We can sort of start believing that maybe God can't do this, but in reality, he can. And so we are called to persevere and push through with faith that passes understanding, peace that passes understanding, because without faith, it can hinder the effectiveness of our prayers. It can hinder how we receive from God. When things don't start to turn out the way we think they should, it can hinder the way we interpret what God is trying to tell us through the power of His Holy Spirit. So, that's the first one. The second one is this, and this one's like a Captain Obvious moment, all right? Second one is this. All right, it's not praying at all, huh? Another way of saying this is not asking, all right? So, say you're praying for things, but you just don't ever ask for it. So, of course, it's not going to come true, right? Now, here's where we get mixed up in this, and here's where I've gotten mixed up in this many times as well. Many times we're like, well, God understands my mind. He understands. He knows everything about me. He already knows what I want. Jesus speaks in Scripture that He knows what we need before we even ask Him. So we kind of come to this reality that, well, I really don't need to intentionally ask for anything. God already knows the desires of my heart, so He's going to give me what I want. He's going to give me what I need. And yes, He's going to provide for you, but He still wants you to ask. When Jesus says that He knows what you want before you ask it, He's still implying that you will ask. And so we are instructed and called to ask, because guess what asking does? It puts us in proper perspective of who God is. The fact that God is God and we are not. The fact that we still need to rely on Him. We still need to go to Him, to seek Him out. And He loves and desires those moments when we call upon His name. Asking reminds us that we're not God. Prayer puts us in the proper place of the created speaking to the Creator. And it's a beautiful thing to have happen. So many times in life, our prayers are hindered because we simply do not ask. So we have this lack of faith, not really believing it's going to happen. We have not praying at all. That's another one. So how about this third one, also found in James? But I didn't even actually read you the verse for that, so I'm going to do that right now. James 4:2. James 4:2 simply says what I've just explained. The reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. Okay, so James 4:2. The very next verse, James 4:3, gets us to the next one. Let me read it really quick before I go grab it. It says this, even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole motive is wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So the third thing that hinders our faith, as I blind myself with this light, but it's okay, I don't mind. All right, is improper motives. All right, we pray with improper motives. We pray for things that we don't really actually need. We find ourselves praying for things that maybe we want, maybe we desire, maybe things that we think would be good, but we're praying with entirely wrong motives. That's why I love the Lord's Prayer, which we've said over and over again here. We've addressed it, we've spoken through it, we've taught on it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's another perspective thing. It puts into perspective the fact that we want the will of God to be done. And then when we understand more and more of the mind of Christ, as we spend more and more time living our lives out within the Word of God, as we read this and it comes to life, we begin to understand the mind of Christ. We begin to want what God wants. We begin to align ourselves with His very will. And so we begin to ask these things. And our selfish prayers that we so often pray will begin to fade away. And we'll begin to ask what we really need to be asking for. And so that's sort of this one. You know, James is calling out in this moment that, you know, sometimes we're prone to talk to God rather than to talk with God. We're prone to ask Him all these things. And we identified also last week that Jesus isn't this individual up in the sky that's just going to give us everything we want. We learned that prayer is not a gimmick to get what we want. We learned last week that Jesus Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross did not get what His flesh desired, did not get what He wanted, but He got what He knew needed to be done, and He did it with full obedience. And so we learned that last week, and we continue to learn that this week. Sometimes we just pray selfishly. We pray with the wrong motive. And in those moments, it hinders our prayers as well. Sometimes I'll think to myself, God, is there anything in my life that is hindering my prayers to you? Is there anything that's getting in the way? Is there any veil there? And so I ask him often, Lord, remove this veil, remove this disguise, remove this wall, this blockade, whatever it is, so I can clearly identify what it is you want for me and what it is you want for the people around me. Which leads us to the fourth one. And this is sort of a big one. One that we all fall into many, many times, probably day in and day out. And it's pretty obvious, I think, but it's right here. And it's this, it's unconfessed sin, right? Unconfessed sin. There are many things that we do each and every day that God is disappointed in. He loves us through it, but he's disappointed. It hinders our prayers. And so sin is the very thing that separates creation from the Creator, the very thing that separates you and I from God the Father. When Adam and Eve messed up in the Garden of Eden so long ago, in Genesis 3, it didn't take very long, sin entered the world and started to attempt to overtake and rule. But God loved each and every one of us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to now bridge that gap. So now we can be made right with God. God the Father can look at us as holy and righteous and just, but our sinful nature is still there. It's still there within us. And so at times throughout our life, we do things that go against the written word of God. And those moments and those things hinder our prayer. And so if sin can hinder and block this, create the separation between God the Father and you and I, why wouldn't we think that it would hinder our prayers? So Isaiah 59:2 says this. It says, your sins have cut you off from God. Because of your sin, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. And then another one, Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And this word cherished in this moment means to gaze upon, to just focus on this sin and not let go of it. And so when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are no longer sinners in the sight of God the Father. Jesus has redeemed each and every one of us as he's washed over us with his blood. But we need to daily acknowledge that reality. We need to daily confess the sins that are taking place. And so maybe you're thinking to yourself, okay, this sounds great and all, but you're just telling me basically I can do whatever I want every day, and then at the end of the day, I will just pray that God forgives me and then everything will be made right and made clean. Sort of this idea that if God's grace is there, why don't we just use it up to its fullest potential? Well, Paul, one of the main authors of the New Testament, one of the founding missionaries of the Christian church, says this against that very thing in Romans 6, 1 through 2. Romans 6, 1 through 2 says this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? These are people asking Paul about sin and the grace. And Paul says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? When we enter into this loving relationship with Jesus Christ, now we are saints. The Bible calls us saints. We are saints who occasionally sin. There is still the reality, there is still the bondage and brokenness of sin that is in this world and is deeply rooted within you and I, but the love of Christ can blow that out of the water. But we need to be daily reminded of this. So this unconfessed thing, it's a big deal. As we sin, we actually speak a foreign language to God. Because you see, God cannot coexist with sin. God cannot be where sin is. God is light. Sin is dark. God is love. Sin is hate. The two cannot coexist. And so when we're living a life of sin or a sinful lifestyle, we are speaking a foreign language to God. This becomes incredibly difficult with like habitual sins, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's looking at something online that we shouldn't be looking at. These things, we need to continually be diving into Scripture to renew our minds to not draw us into those habits anymore. But the love of Christ can do just that. So next one is this. This is another big one I think a lot of us get stuck in. And it is, let me go over here now. All right, okay. Mm-hmm. Unforgiveness, all right? Let me read unforgiveness. Mark 11:25 says this. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. This is calling us out like, hey, if you're here worshiping together, if you're doing something and you realize that you have something against a brother or sister in Christ, a friend, a family member, anybody, this is calling us to make amends with those individuals and release them, to forgive them so that we can move forward. A lot of times unforgiveness holds us back. Now, here's the interesting thing about forgiveness, and I think so many people mess this up and get this wrong. The problem is that people confuse forgiveness with all of us. They say, okay, you're asking me to forgive. That means you're telling me that I need to trust this person. You're telling me that I need to forget what this person did to me. That's not what God is commanding us to do. He's not commanding us to trust. He's not commanding us to forgive. He's commanding us to forgive just like he forgave each and every one of you. Just like he forgave me. When he died on the cross and experienced a punishment that he did not deserve on our behalf, he forgave us, and he is expecting that we forgive others in return. Now, there are people that are not safe to be around. There are people that are not trustworthy. Trust takes time to build, and we do not have to just automatically trust everybody in our life that has hurt us. The beautiful thing about forgiveness is it is a release. It's a release for you. The one that has been hurt, the one that has been broken because of this individual's actions, you can release that. You can release the retaliation. You can release the need for revenge. You can release all of these things, hand them to God, and live freely. You don't have to let that person back into your life. You don't have to trust them with everything you do. You don't have to forget what they did, but you can now use what they did, use the experience that was there, and redeem it for good. Just like God can redeem negative situations for good, you then can redeem the situation. You can learn from the situation. You can minister through this situation. That's the beauty of forgiveness. And so many Christians refuse to do it. They feel so good about having this revenge. They feel so good. It just fuels them to be able to figure out how they're going to get back at this person. But in reality, all it's doing is draining life from you. So release it. Forgive. Like Jesus forgave you, forgive those around you. So that's a huge one. And Jesus can't be more clear that grudges and revenge and all sorts of things like this are a clear hindrance between him and you as you're communicating through prayer. So the next one. We got another one. Lack of obedience. Lack of obedience. All right, here we go. Lack of obedience. All right, wall's getting big, guys. I just hit my head on the cross. All right. Lack of obedience. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. It's pretty point blank. When we see things around us that need to be done, when we know that in our heart and in our soul that God is prompting us to do something good, but we allow fear to overtake us, we allow doubt to overrule us, it's considered sin, and it's hard to acknowledge that and realize that at times. I find myself doing this. I've experienced this many times. I mean, I think one of the most common scenarios in this, and this can go many ways, but as you're walking down the street and there's somebody on the side of the road begging for something. So many of us are like, oh, I'm not giving that guy anything because he's just going to go use it on drugs and alcohol for sure. So it's like, how do we minister when we're trying to like be wise, we're trying to be smart, but we want to show the love of Christ to people? My family is going to start, we tried to do it once before and we failed at us, honestly, but we're going to go and we're going to get some backpacks at like Five Below, like cheap backpacks, and then fill it with some dollar store items and some like socks and toiletry items, candy bars, trail mix, whatever, put them in this backpack. And then as we see people like that, we can just hand them the whole backpack. And then it's just hope that it blesses them. And depending on the circumstance of the scenario, maybe we pray with them or whatever. And so there's different ways that we can engage with people around us. Another verse that continues to talk about this is Deuteronomy 28:15. It says, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees that I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Now, this is Old Testament before Jesus, but this, you know, this the punishment and reality of sin is still alive today. And so the sky over your head, in verse 23, the sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you, iron. As we don't do the things that we know we should do, we sort of enclose ourselves in this iron bubble, it's saying, which hinders our connection with God the Father. And then James, back to James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So it's sort of, that sort of like presses on your heart a little bit, right? Like it kind of, it affects me a little bit when I hear that. And this includes facing the racial tensions of today. It doesn't mean getting into like, you know, social media arguments over things or violently protesting, but it means standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves in more of a general sense of what's going on in the world today. Going the extra mile for people who are different than you, whether it's race or whether it's culture or whether it's economic status or whatever that is. We've learned throughout these last several weeks what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to serve those that are beneath you, to pray for those that are beneath you, to speak and seek justice for those who can't seek it for themselves. That's what this is talking about. So we look at this wall and we're getting a little overwhelmed probably, right? So there's six of them. You're thinking, man, this is ridiculous. You're going to keep going? This is nuts. So we're going to keep going. How about this one? This is a pretty good one. All right. Insincere words. Praying insincerely, right? So the Pharisees did this often. People of other religions in Jesus' day would pray and mumble things and say all these things, but then go and do something else or live a different lifestyle. So Matthew 6:7 says this. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Jesus is saying, listen, in that moment, in that time, he was calling out people of other religions, the Pharisees often who would pray these big and bold prayers that were filled with these huge words and say all these things, and then they would go off and they would care less for the oppressed and the poor, and they would call people out on their inability to reach these religious mandates and check all the boxes. And Jesus was calling them out and saying, you guys are hypocrites. Your heart's not in the right place. You're saying all the right things, but you're not doing any of it. Jesus wants us to come to him in honesty, authentically. Again, just like we learned last week, as Jesus came to God the Father in the garden, broken, real, honest, he wants us to come that way as well. Sometimes we think, you know, well, what about all these prayers in the Bible that we talk about? Even you keep speaking of the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, we can say that over and over again. And these words happen over and over again. So you're saying that this these prescribed prayers are bad. But no, Jesus used them last week as well as we talked. We can use these prayers over and over again, but it's where our heart is. It's where our mentality is. Are we just speaking it because we're speaking it? Or when we speak it, do we mean it? I think another area that we can get lost in this is even with our worship that we do, like our singing worship. Sometimes we sing these songs and sometimes the lyrics are very repetitive. They repeat themselves over and over again. And maybe you're thinking, well, doesn't that kind of line up to this? In those moments, for me, as a singer and as a worship leader, I love those moments because I can soak into the song without having to think of what lyric is next, without having to read the screen, but I can use these lyrics and sing them over and over again in my heart, and I can become and enter into this beautiful space with God the Father. So you see, it's not about the repetition. That's not what Jesus is calling out here. He's not calling out the repetition. He's calling out the sincerity of your heart. Because Jesus wants your heart, not your ritual. He wants your heart, not your ritual. And so however that looks, as long as your heart is sincere, God is pleased with that. He loves that. Don't feel like your prayers aren't worthy enough. Don't feel like you're not saying the right words. If you're praying to God authentically and honestly, that is what God wants. That is what God desires. And you can experience that in your prayer life. One more, okay? One more. All right. One more, and this one, maybe it doesn't apply to everybody in the room, but I'm sure we've seen it lived out or whatever that is. It's this, disrespecting your spouse, all right? All right, disrespecting your spouse. So, You're probably thinking, what in the world? If I disrespect my spouse, God, my spouse, God won't hear me? Well, here, listen to this. It says, husbands, in the same way, having just talked to the wives, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is in 1 Peter 3:7. I mean, it's being called out right here. We need to respect our spouse. We need to treat our spouse as we would treat ourselves. We need to love our spouse as we love ourselves. And so many times we mess this up. It's difficult. I know I mess it up at times. You see, the interesting thing about marriage is not necessarily just designed to make you happy. Happiness should come along with it, absolutely, but marriage is actually designed to make you holy. You see, marriage is a picture. It's a glimpse of heaven. It's a glimpse of Jesus Christ being reunited with his creation in unity. Jesus is often referred to as the groom, and the church is referred to as the bride, and the two come together. And so one day when Jesus comes back, they will be reunited and made as one. And so many times in our lives, in our marriage lives, rather than giving ourselves a glimpse of heaven, we end up giving ourselves a glimpse of hell. Like, we look at our marriages and we're like, this is broken, this is messed up. And so it skews our view of heaven, because one of the main purposes of marriage is to give us a picture, a window into what heaven will one day be like. And so when we mess around and we disrespect our spouses, it hinders our relationship. It hinders our connection with God. So maybe you look at this wall here and you're like, wow, this is ridiculous. Because each and every one of us fall into one of these, if not more than one of them, on a regular basis, right? So you're probably thinking to yourself, even as I prepare this message, I'm thinking to myself, what's the point in praying? Clearly, God's not going to hear a thing I say. But that's not the reality. So we're in this relationship with God. As we enter into this relationship with God, we become his child. He loves each and every one of us. And here is the thing that God cannot do. Back to the question I asked at the very beginning. Is there anything that God cannot do? God cannot stop loving you. God cannot stop loving you. You are loved by God. You are special. You are created in his image. He loves you and he cherishes you, and he wants to be in communication with you. He wants you to dive into the word of God. He wants you to understand his mind and know it more and more, but he understands the reality that we are still bound by sin here on earth. We can be redeemed of that. But it's still, our natural tendency is to be drawn towards sin. And so we have to be reminded of these things. And so I would encourage you to take your phone out, take a picture of this, think through this, pray through this each and every day, each and every week. And Paul says this, he proves this to us in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Because we can look at this and we're like, man, the cross back there, like, does that mean that I'm separated from God? Does that mean when I do these things, I can no longer be connected with God? It may cloud our communication with God, but he still loves us and he wants to break through that. And so hopefully this calls you to repent from these things. And as you repent from these things, you turn away from them and move forward, focusing on the very love that Jesus has for you. And so Paul in Romans 8, 38, 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He loves you even through your brokenness. He loves you even when you mess up, even when you sin. He loves you, but he wants to have a clear connection with you. He wants to be in communication with you. And that's where we need to continually, daily, think about these things, look at these things, and repent of them. You see, prayer is about connecting with God, period. And it's interesting, I'm gonna grab my phone because I need to look something up. So last week, after the message, I won't say who, but somebody came up to me and said, hey, I wrote this down about prayer, and I thought it was beautiful. And so I wrote it down here, and this is the revelation that they came to sort of at the end of the day, and I thought it was beautiful. And I think it really does generalize and tie into what we're talking about this in this series. People think Prayer is designed for God to hear our thoughts and requests. God designed prayer for man to sort his thoughts and align them with God's. As we pray, as we spend time in this, our thoughts align with God's. We understand where God wants us to go. We can clearly see where the Holy Spirit is leading us, because the world is truly trying to pull us all different directions. But as we focus in on who he is, as we focus in on all of his characteristics that are found in here, we understand more and more about how we are to live our lives, how we are to pray through our lives. So hopefully as we hear this and we see this, we're encouraged to repent from these things. Because what happens is when we repent, this clear communication, this clear channel of communication opens back up, and this can open back up daily, hourly, moment by moment, as we continue to focus our minds on this. John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." If we confess, if we repent, and this can be a daily occurrence, guess what happens? It wipes this slate clean, and these just come down, and I knock microphones over. Right? They come down, and the way is clear to the Lord. So we can daily repent. We can daily be reminded that, yes, these things will happen, but the problem is we are still surrounded by this earthly desire to navigate toward the thing that is wrong. And so what happens is all of a sudden things start building back up again. And it can happen immediately. Unconfessed sin, habitual sin, looking at something. And so you start building this wall up again. Even after you confess, you start building it back up slowly and slowly. So this is a rhythm that we need to put into place. Scripture tells us to daily take up our cross, to daily acknowledge the fact that Jesus loves us, he died for us, and we don't want to have any barrier, or we don't want to have any cloudy communication with him as we go through our lives. And so we can just ignore all of this, because we can repent of it each and every moment, each and every day. And as we begin to lose faith, and as we begin to lack the ability to believe that this is true, we can be reminded that all we need to do is turn from it and turn back toward God. So be reminded of that. And this morning, maybe you need to repent for the very first time. Maybe this isn't something that you've experienced. Maybe this relationship with Jesus that I'm talking about isn't something that you've ever actually really done before or accepted or received. And so I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. And I've done this almost every week, and I'm going to continue doing this, because it's very important that you know who Jesus is, that you know that he loves you so much, that he wants to have a clear communication with you. He wants you to be deep within his word each and every day. So I'm going to pray, and maybe I'm going to acknowledge the fact that Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, and maybe for the first time this morning, you're going to acknowledge the very same thing. Because God loves you, and he wants to be with you each and every day, and he wants nothing to get in the way. And the love of God can shatter these walls and wrap around you. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that your love is powerful. Your love is great. And Lord, I accept and I personally receive that love this morning. And in the moments that have led up to this very moment in my life, any area that I have messed up in, Lord, I confess it to you, and I ask anybody in this room to confess theirs as well. Any sin that is unconfessed, any thoughts that they can do things on their own, I pray that that would go away. I pray that people would be drawn into your presence in this very moment. So Lord, I acknowledge that you are my Savior. I acknowledge that you love me. I acknowledge that you died on this cross for me. And I can receive that freely. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving me. I give you my life. Lord, prompt me each and every day to spend time in your word, to understand what it means to renew my mind in you, and to repent of the ways that are not of you, so I can walk in unity with you. I love you. I praise you. And Lord, allow me to enter into your presence over and over and over. Again and again and again, I run to you, Heavenly Father. I love you. Thank you for loving me back. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray these things. Amen.